Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Sexy Relationship Recruiting Podcast. I'm Dr. Ben Spears, the ambassador of flow, here with, the man who can do it all, Matt Bott.
Ben, you're always trying to make people feel good, man. I got to love that about you. All is so encompassing. There are so many things. All when it comes to recruiting, right? That's what we're talking about. Are we talking about all within all? What is
it? Here's the thing, man. I saw your LinkedIn post this morning, and it was, you know, talking about the market and how do you look at the market, that kind of thing. Uh-huh. And I commented already. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but I said it's easy. I said I'm business partners with a real estate genius. I just call Matt and I say, Matt, what's going on in the market?
What's going on in the market? And if I don't have the answer, and if you don't have the answer, what do we do, man? We are obsessive about digging up the answer. Right.
Yeah,
I mean, we're just exactly relentless right about it. That's such the important part. Guys, by the way, if you're not connected with us on LinkedIn, absolutely get out there and connect with us on LinkedIn,
because yeah,
there's some great content out there that we put out there on a regular basis. And it's those little bites, right, that make things new and better and interesting and all that kind of stuff for everybody, right? Which speaking of which, we're gonna take a bite out of something today that's absolutely fantastic, and it's too sprawling of a conversation. I'll use the word sprawling. Too expansive of a conversation to talk about in just one podcast. As a matter of fact, there's probably quite a few here. So what we're going to talk about is, you know, the brilliance of a company, what makes a company brilliant at what they do, right? And then there's going to be 8 attributes, which we'll take that over into another podcast. There's 8 attributes that make a company just an excellent company. Now, these two things go hand in hand. So let's, over the next few days, what we'll do is we'll review those 8. And then over the next few days, let's just dig into some of those 8 that really make a difference. But today we'll kind of go over the basics of it. Okay. How's that sound, Ben?
Yep, I like it a lot. And you guys, you know the routine. Wherever you're listening to this, make sure you hit that follow button or hit that subscribe button. There's no better time than the present to go to prospectboomerang.com and click that green button at the top, sign up for a free account, and then go over and join our free real estate recruiting mastermind group. That's where Matt and I dig into these topics a little bit deeper. We get to know you and your business, and hopefully let you guys get to know us and ours. I'm going to add one other thing in the description. No matter where you're listening to this, I'm going to go ahead and put some links and information as far as where you can find our LinkedIn accounts. Because I know sometimes you can type in a Ben Spears or you can type in a Matt Vi and 100 of them show up. So,
right. I love it. Yeah, let's make it easy. Let's make it easy to be connected, just like always.
Yep, that's exactly right. And as soon as you guys connect with us, obviously we accept the connection. We're connected. But, you know. Right. We want to connect with you guys anywhere that you're active. So, that being said, Matt,
you know, excellent companies,
brilliant companies. Talk to me about it.
Man, they're hyper focused on the basics.
Yeah, fundamentals, right?
That's right, fundamentals, man. Blocking and tackling, right? So some guys that I work with are just incredible guys. Played college football at an extremely high level, and they talk about that all the time. Championships are won by doing the basics, right? Blocking and tackling is what they discuss all the time, right? That makes all the difference in the world. I think that gets overlooked, right? So what happens is, a lot of times, you know, people will buy a tool or they'll buy a system, and it's almost like they invest in this hyper bloated expansive way into this tool.
What a great word to describe that.
Bloated, right? So what happens is they stop thinking and they believe that this tool is the solution. They quit looking at the basics and the fundamentals, and they think that this tool. So here's a perfect example of it, right? So databases that send out drip campaigns for recruiting, absolutely they're fantastic. It's very helpful. Okay, but if you're sending that stuff out and you reach out and you connect with someone and you haven't been paying attention to what was going out, automatically you get exposed, right? Yeah. I mean, somebody calls up and says, you know, I don't get worried about talking to people. You know what I'm saying? I allow the conversation to be around what the conversation needs to be around. If I don't know anything about it, I'll just shut up and listen. Right. If I know something about it and I want to contribute, you know, I'll talk about it. My biggest fear in having a conversation with someone is that they feel that I portrayed to them that I was an expert on something. that I didn't portray that to them. I didn't talk to them about that. I have no idea what they're talking about. So they bust out with, so, hey, Dr. Ben, you know, this, that, and the other. And I said, you sent me an email that was this, and you talked about that. And I'm like, whoa, hang on a second. Right? I mean, that would scare you, right? That would
scare me.
Yeah. And so tools should not substitute thinking. And when you get away from the basics, that's immediately what starts happening. You start applying complex solutions to complex problems, or even worse, complex solutions to simple problems. Simple.
Yeah. And I still can't get over, you know, you using the word bloated.
Let it go, man.
No, it's a good thing because it makes so much sense, right? Because how do you feel when you're bloated? You feel like you feel full and like you don't want to do anything.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. And that's exactly, and that's exactly what a lot of these brokerages do. They'll bring on these tools, more tools, more tools, more tools. They'll fill up their shelves with tools. And then they're like, these tools aren't doing anything.
Right. And then what happens is they start analyzing the tools and the results of the tools instead of analyzing the issue that they're still having.
Yes, exactly.
They'll start going, well, this tool isn't working. Well, you know why it's not working. It's because it's bloated, right? It's because it's it's because it's a pontificating tool that doesn't focus on, right? It's they start ripping this tool apart when the reality is they should just say, well, what is the problem that we're having? Are we still having that? Because sometimes what could happen, right, is you could have implemented a tool to solve a certain problem, right? So let's say that your managers don't connect on a regular basis, okay? So you implement some type of database that are sending things out for your managers so they're connecting on a regular basis. And then all of a sudden their appointment to hire ratio or their interview to hire ratio goes in the mud. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So they were really good at it before. But what's happening is maybe it's creating more opportunities for them. But the issue now is not that they aren't connecting. It's that they're not having those value-based conversations, or they're not explaining the tools and systems that you have well, or they're not listening to hear which tool is actually going to solve the problem. So what ends up happening is, going back to that complex tool solving a simple problem, right? They start looking at all the things that are going on and they forget about the fact that they had that original problem. So worst case scenario is they're like, oh, this tool is the issue. They throw that out. And all of a sudden they're back to the point of, guess what? Their managers aren't making connections enough. And the reason why is because they looked at everything too complex and too many different ways. And instead of pulling things apart and saying, okay, this problem was solved by this tool, but now it's created another problem, which is a good thing if we deal with it the right way. Instead of doing all that, they go, look, we're having more appointments, but nobody's hiring. So this tool isn't working, and they throw it out. Happens all the time.
Yeah, they're constantly tipping the scales and never balancing them.
That's exactly correct. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Correct. So intellect doesn't overpower wisdom, right? I mean, so we know that, you know, we know ultimately that the bottom line here is the difference between a master carpenter and a carpenter is a master carpenter knows how to fix the issues that come up, right? A carpenter is the one that knows how to build things and put things together and make it all happen. But a master carpenter is the one like, hey dude, we're off on this. And now we're 10 stages away from where the initial mistake was made. Here's how we're going to fix this. This is what we're going to do about it. The difference between the two, right? That's intellect versus wisdom.
Yeah, you're basically looking at, you know, what a lot of us would term book smarts versus experience.
Street smarts, yeah.
No, yeah, I love that. Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a big comparison between the two, right? So excellent, and you know, excellent companies, the bottom line, right? If they get their head wrapped around all this, what do? Right? They persist, man. They keep on going. Right. So instead of getting wrapped up in all of the issues, they don't let their intellect overpower the experience or the wisdom of things. They really insist on focusing on the basics, and they keep a problem. If it is complex, they break it up into simple pieces.
Yep.
And then they just apply simple solutions until they can no longer apply those simple solutions. Right. And what that does is it allows them to isolate things and really drive it down to quality.
Yeah.
The next thing you know, you're having quality decisions that are being made. The fundamentals are being worked on. Blocking and tackling is happening. And the next thing you know, the small problems are kept small. They're isolated. and then quality answers start coming out of it. The next thing you know, other people, other onlookers say, man, your company just runs so well. And you explain some basics to them of, you know, here's how we recruit. This is how we do things this way. And the next thing you know, they're like, oh man, that just seems too complex to, that seems too complex to put in place. I'm going to go back and try to buy this tool instead of taking those small steps that they need to, that they need to take.
Yeah, exactly. And as soon as they start focusing on that quality, you know, that their customers start becoming happier. But I want to make sure that when we talk about quality, that of course, you know, we'll stick with the brokerage examples. Of course, this is worldwide for businesses. Quality means yes, quality of your customer service, quality of taking care of your employees, quality of this is a top down look. Because I think a lot of us can look at this and say, well, you know, I don't make, you know, potato chips for a living,
right?
Like it's my. So I don't have a commodity, basically, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Because a lot of times you think of quality, you think of a product, something that's tangible, something that you can hold in your hand.
Right.
Whereas, you know, from our standpoint, you know, quality is structure and culture and customer service. All the
little pieces. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. All the little pieces being, you know, across your whole enterprise, breaking that entire enterprise apart and making sure that every phase of it, every stage of it, every KPI, right, every little part of it has quality embedded into it. What that does is that allows for the interaction with the consumer, who eventually your consumer is, which we all know when it comes to recruiting and when it comes to a brokerage, I think we all know this, the consumer is the agent. Right. As a brokerage,
that's exactly
the one consuming what you're doing is actually the agent. Now that agent is leveraging what they consume into a service. Right. So this is probably a great point to bring this up. And we should also, you know, I know you and I have talked about it, but we should probably go ahead and commit to this on the podcast here to make sure that we get it done. Right. There's a big difference between an entrepreneur, a broker, and a brokerpreneur. Right. There's a big difference between all of those. Okay. A brokerpreneur is someone that when they heard that statement just a second ago that I made, that the consumer is actually the agent. If you heard that and you argued in your head or out loud in your car or out loud at the gym, you're on the treadmill and you're like, no, Matt, you're wrong. If you argued with that statement that the consumer is the one buying and selling houses, you're probably not a brokerpreneur.
Hey guys, this podcast is powered by Prospect Boomerang.
We all know broker owners struggle with profitability. Prospect Boomerang compounds your profits by recruiting the best agents to your brokerage.
For consistent growth, visit prospectboomerang.com.
Because what that means is that your side hustle is your brokerage.
Yes.
Right. That means that what you're really focusing on is your buyers and sellers. You are the one that has a product, and that product you're selling directly to buyers and sellers. Your product and is not being sold to your consumer, which is your agent. That means that you're not a brokerpreneur, right? You're not really running a business. You're running a, I take that back. That I said that completely wrong. You are running a business. Exactly. I apologize. That's incorrect. But the business that you're running is not a real estate brokerage. The business that you're running is actually a salesperson's business. No problem at all with that. No issue at all with that. Rock on. There's some very financially stable and successful people crushing it, doing it. And the brokerages are side hustle just because some people just wanted to work closely with them. I love it if that's the case. But the group that we're talking to are the group of people. When we talk about the quality in different phases and the quality key performance indicators and all that kind of stuff, we're talking to the people that the consumer of their product are the agents in the brokerage that they're recruiting to. That's primarily who we're speaking to. Not that you can't use this information other places, but that's the key thing, right? Did I get too far off track on that? Is that?
No, I mean, we coined the word brokerpreneur and we used it, gosh, I don't know, a few months ago. Right. I think it's good to keep bringing that back and just make sure that, you know, our audience knows, like, you know, this is where we're coming from.
Right.
And this is where we want everyone basically to cast their vision, because yes, right, we want them to have successful brokerages. We want them to have successful businesses as well. Right. And doing that in a way that, you know, they're taking care of their agents. And just like you always say, it's most important to us to make sure that the right agents are with the right brokerages.
Correct.
Yep. And I think being a brokerpreneur is what truly makes that happen, because if it is your side hustle, or if you are just looking at this from a business, you may just take any agent that walks through the door.
Right.
Like, hey, I'm just looking at numbers.
And you can do that.
Absolutely, you can.
We're not saying don't do that, right? If that fits who you are, be authentic to it, and we love that, right?
100%.
Right. But a lot of what we're talking about is going to be more suited to the people who want their brokerage to be more than just a place that some agents are hiding out while they're out doing their buying and selling themselves. The broker's out doing the buying and selling themselves. And so that actually speaks to another, you know, when we talk about excellence in the basics, that actually speaks to another one. You and I, right, saying this without saying this, right? I mean, we actually just, you know, hit this one, and I want to make sure that we bring it out. When it comes to the basics, go ahead and treat everybody. Go ahead and treat everybody like an adult. Go ahead and treat everybody like they're not a baby, like they don't need to be spoon fed.
Coddled.
That's exactly right. So, you know, being part of a championship level team, being part of that top level team, you know what? You got to have top level people. That means people who are accountable and responsible. First of all, that starts with you, the broker owner. Are you accountable? Are you responsible? If so, how do you make that happen? Right. Yep. That means you're treating yourself like an adult. Why, as an adult, would you want to surround yourself by a bunch of people who act like kids that need you to do everything? There's a bunch of talk right now in the marketplace. If you go out there and look on LinkedIn and all these other places, there's a lot of people that are giving leadership advice, which I completely agree with, that the leader's job should be a very concise thing that they're doing, which is controlling the vision of what's going on with the company. And all the other things should be delegated beneath that leader for that. So they're saying, in other words, be surrounded by a bunch of adults. Be surrounded by people that don't need you to step in every day and help them do their job, right? Yeah. So if you've got, that doesn't mean don't help out, and it doesn't mean don't coach. Right. That's absolutely not what that means.
Right.
What it means is that your primary responsibility should not be to do their job every day. Your primary responsibility should be to assist them in making sure that their job fulfills the vision and the path that you have set.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's, you know, Matt doesn't come and push the keys while I'm editing this podcast.
Right. That's right. Right?
But there's a point, like, you know, we do this to each other where it's, you know, there is that accountability of, hey, that get done. We get that podcast done today. Right. You know, what are we looking at? What are the show notes look like for the next week?
Yep.
Right. And you're forecasting into the future and you're helping guide that vision.
Yep.
But, you know, you're not sitting there punching the keys for them.
That's exactly right. And so whenever we work together on things, there are lanes that we stay in on our work.
Yep.
Because I know Ben is going to do the job, and he shares the vision, and he knows I'm going to do the job and share the vision, and we help each other out whenever we need help on whatever it is. But we also stay out of each other's lanes on the things that we need to stay out of, because what that does so many times is it takes, let's go back to the beginning of what we said. It takes a simple problem and makes it really complex. Right. So now if Ben and I start talking about this one thing and it's my opinion and his opinion, and I go back to my experience and he says, no, when I did this, this is how it goes. And then he said, well, if we do it this way, then this is how it goes. And all of a sudden we took something that should have just been a simple solution, threw our egos out to the side and said, hey, this is what I think we should do. No, we're going to do it this way. All right. That's your lane. Go get them, Tiger. Let's see what happens. And if it doesn't go the way that we talk about it going. So if I say something's going to happen and Ben's like, no, let's do it this way, and 6 months from now, there's an issue with it, it's not about me saying, hey, Ben, remember you said that this is how we said we were going to do it. What it's about is there's another simple problem. Let's fix that simple problem. And that's happened with both of us a bunch of times. And we just move past whatever the issue and the problem is. And we just say, how do we solve this next one? Because that's what allows us to step forward, not only in our business, but in the trust that is fundamental in what goes on in our business. And that's
I told you so is not in the vocabulary.
Right.
Oh, no, no. We tell each other, I told you so. No. I told you so.
Bringing up the logo. Quit bringing up the logo, man.
but it's not, I told you so, like, hey, you're an idiot. You broke everything. It's, I told you so, like, us having fun with it.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, it's, for sure. And you and I are both the first to admit when we're wrong.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Because that means that we're the first to admit it's time to move forward and make things better.
Yeah, and what that allows everyone to do, you know, taking that mentality, is to kind of give a long leash or a long tether to everyone around them.
Absolutely.
Because you can't micromanage everything in your business. And I was watching a video earlier today, Donald Miller, writer of the Story Brand, and he was talking about staffing your liabilities.
Oh, nice. Right.
Find out what you're not good at.
Yep.
And then, you know, find someone else basically who's good at that. He's like, that's the biggest way to scale a business, the fastest way to scale a business. That he said, but once you staff those liabilities, let them do their thing. He's like, if you're not good at it, don't go over there and try and micromanage them on how to be good at something that you hired them to do.
Right. And let the chaos happen, right? I mean, don't fool yourself and say, hey, I'm gonna staff this issue. I'm gonna staff this liability. And as soon as the chaos, you know, starts to blow up, go, well, I knew because I didn't do it myself, and because I didn't do it myself, you know, that's what happens. Yeah. That's not the way to look at it. The way to look at it is now that person is getting better at what they're doing. They're able to see you help assist them to make sure things go the way that they're supposed to. And now we reduce that problem back to a really simple thing. Let's talk about this in recruiting for just a second, really specifically in recruiting. Okay. Let's talk about connections, the initial connections to hire ratio, right? Because that's what a lot of people really like to look at. How many phone calls did you make, right? As an example, how many emails did you send out? How many, you know, co-op calls that you make or whatever it is, right? How many of those compared to how many people did you hire? If that's all that you look at, you're going to have such a distorted view of what the solution really is. Because there is, you know, the connections that you made, how'd that conversation go? Was it that you didn't follow up, you don't follow up quickly? Is that the issue? Can that one thing be solved in that process and it make a difference between your connection to higher ratio? Is it your follow-up that you make after the appointment? Is it the actual pre-interview? Is it the interview? Is it the follow-up after the interview? What is it that you said in the interview that turned so many people off? All of those things are different pieces and parts of what could actually cause the issue throughout the transaction. And if you're not paying attention to all of those different pieces and you're just looking at it from a connection to hire ratio, you're not breaking it down into those pieces. What you're doing is you're saying you're throwing out what could be an incredible process that could change recruiting for your company fundamentally and make it exponentially more successful because they've hit on something that's just incredible. But instead, people look at that big, broad range because it's easier, not because it's simple, but because it's easier.
Yeah, there are a bunch of different things that can give you a flat tire.
That's exactly right. That's exactly 100% correct. And how you fix that tire and where you get that tire fixed is a whole bunch of options and a whole bunch of, you know, opportunities for how it's dealt with. But you're exactly right. There's a lot of different ways of getting a flat tire.
Yep. Awesome, Matt. What do you want to summarize this up before we close it out?
I do. So first of all, everybody be on the lookout. We will go through the eight attributes to make a company excellent. Okay. We're going to start tackling those. What we'll probably do is in the next podcast or two, we'll give an overview of all of them, and then we'll just dig into each of those over some of the podcast. Right. Yep. But here's, you know, as far as today and taking a close look at what we discussed, you know, excellent companies, above all, are brilliant on the basics, right? They're just paying a lot of attention to all the small things, including the fact that intellect doesn't overpower experience or doesn't overpower wisdom, right? They don't let what they're doing, their analysis of things, they don't let it impede the action that they're taking. They don't let it stop the action that they're taking, right? So the tools that they have, they don't let the tools that they have substitute the people that are in the system that are supposed to be getting things done, they don't let the tool overtake the importance of that person thinking.
Yep.
Right. And they insist on quality, right? We talked about quality and all the different pieces. They take excellent care of their customers, and they treat everybody like an adult, right? And I know we talked about a couple of other things. You want to hit on those?
Yeah, for sure. You know, they give their staff and their agents, you know, long leashes so they can be creative in their jobs. Yep. And then just the last thing that you said, you know, they allow for some chaos. Because what they don't want to make happen, or what they don't want to happen, and what they make sure does happen, is they want to have quick action and, you know, regular innovation, experimentation. They don't want to stop their business because one little problem's occurring.
Right. They don't want to believe that things can't go wrong.
Yep.
And they don't want the belief that if things do go wrong, then everybody stops doing what they're doing and everybody rushes over and points at the whatever the chaos is. Just the chaos is happening. Okay, let's fix it and let's move on, right?
Yeah. I mean, you honestly want a little chaos.
Right. Agreed.
it means you're doing something to push forward instead of just staying the same.
Getting out of that comfort zone, for sure.
That's right. Awesome, guys. So if you're listening to this on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, any of those platforms, make sure you hit that follow button. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit that red subscribe button, that bell right beside of it. You get notified every single time we drop a new episode. You want to watch all these things, all these episodes in audio and video form. Make sure you go to prospectboomerang.com, click on podcast right there at the top. You'll see them all. You also see a box where you can sign up for our monthly recruiting VIP list, where we'll send you monthly tips, tricks, and hacks straight to your inbox, absolutely free. Just a reminder, I'm going to put our LinkedIn information in the description of this podcast. So make sure you go down there and take a look at that and connect with us on LinkedIn. Last but not least, Matt, we want to connect with them.
Absolutely.
Why do we want to do that?
Because we want to be part of their win.